Welcome into the Week 6 CSS DFS Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Dopp. To my left is Michael Clay. To my right is Alvin Zeidenfeld, Al Smizzle, L.A. Smooth, as we like to call him. And gentlemen, it's great to be here. Mike, you're wearing a t-shirt. It feels weird, but I love it.
Well, I am. I'm wearing my Schitt's Creek t-shirt here that says EU David, which is a shout-out, the opposite of a shout-out toward you. This is totally you because I already know, like, off the top, we're going to start fighting here.
We are about to.
So this is just so I don't have to keep repeating negativity at you. It's just on the shirt. So
I hope you brought your dad pants today, Al, because you're going to have to keep Mike and I apart.
Yeah, there's been news related to judges out there. We'll just leave it at that on the political side of things. But you're going to have to play the judge role on the podcast.
You are going to have to be the judge here. Al, here's what happened. I gave a lineup for...
I'm already mad.
I gave a lineup for our CSS DFS podcast in the show last week. I had made one prior to, and then I changed it. Problem is, when I changed it didn't go into the actual contest.
Oh,
so the lineup that I gave to all of our fantastic, smart, beautiful, hopeful listeners that we all love and cannot wait to be able to continue to spend time with was a lineup that was not in the doc. However, I have tallied up those points, and those points for the lineup that I gave to our listeners were more points than Mike's lineup that he gave to listeners. And now he's calling shenanigans because I didn't have it in the contest. So here I am, Al, coming to you, imploring you, L.A. Smooth, who gets the W knowing
whoa,
Mike already has an asterisk on his win-loss record? And I'll let you go ahead and step in here.
No, you're gonna let me defend myself here because every week we give a lineup and there's always a point that we make. There's some discretion that we can change it because there's, as always seems to be the case, there's news or injuries.
Or
last week I had Josh Allen in my lineup. Obviously, he wasn't on the slate.
Game's getting moved off the slate.
Right, exactly. So we have to adjust for that. We can't just take zeros for those positions. So every week we make little tweaks if we need to for that contest. And you did that, or you had a different lineup.
I did not do that.
Different lineup entered into that contest. So you sat down and put your lineup in and pressed enter and submitted it. And I beat you pretty handily.
I did that on Wednesday. Yep. And then I changed the lineup and gave out the lineup to the show. And everyone on the show heard the actual lineup.
I have a question for you, Al. Let's say you're in the Millie Maker and you have the winning lineup written down.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you don't enter it into the contest. Do they give you $1 million for that? Or how's that work?
I mean, I wish that retrospective DFS was available where I could then after the tournament be able to pick my lineup. But no, they don't allow that, Mike.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So so I just want to say this then. So Mike's got three wins on the season with two asterisks that if Daniel had played the correct lineup, he would have been.
Oh, could have. Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. That's fair. I'll give it to you.
You
Mike,
know what? I actually had a lineup I was going to play in week three that was really good. And I would have beat you that week. So I'll take the win for that when you take the win for this week.
So it's all right.
That's interesting.
My heart feels good.
So all right. Nobody listening cares about any of this. So shout out Jeremiah PM. He had 227.9 points to beat us both last week.
He really did.
So congratulations.
Congratulations, Jeremiah. Fantastic. Wow. Join our weekly contest with unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. Man, we have a ton of fun with it, as you can tell. And let's talk about some players this week. we're just going to jump right in.
Yeah, let's go. Nobody cares anymore.
Tom Brady taking on the Green Bay Packers. Mike, when you look at what Brady has done, I don't want to say he's been inconsistent, but he has had some big games. He's had some games where he's really struggled. This week, though, taking on Green Bay at home, you like him. Tell me why.
I do. He is my best value, and you can check that out on the ESPN charts we have there for DraftKings and FanDuel. You could kind of scroll through and see the best values of the week. He is number one this week, 6,500 against the Packers. He's the seventh highest priced quarterback. And, you know, he's had some good weeks, 20 plus points in three of his five games. He is coming off a tough matchup against an elite defense. The Bears defense has been better than even I thought they would be this year. And I was a little lower on them than I should have been, obviously. So they've been fantastic. He's fourth in pass attempts. You know, he's going to throw it a ton. He already has 13 touchdowns this season. And the Packers, eighth worst in fantasy points allowed over expectation to quarterbacks. So, you know, they allowed two plus passing touchdowns in Minnesota, Detroit, New Orleans. They haven't faced much volume, but they have struggled. So, like Brady a lot, and he could have Chris Godwin back as well.
I know that would be great. If you find out that Chris Godwin is back and he's definitely going to play, you know, is that a surefire, like Tom Brady is someone you feel quite a bit more confident in? Understanding, is this, are you suggesting this with even sans Chris Godwin if he doesn't play?
Yeah, I think he would come down a little bit without Godwin, but he's still going to be a great value. He is the best value without Godwin. You knock him down a little bit, but I'd still like him as a play.
Okay, love that. Al, someone you like as a play near and dear to my heart is Matthew Stafford, who in the four games he has played so far this year has yet to hit the 300-yard mark. Mm-hmm. However, he takes on the Jacksonville Jaguars, which could be good for his chances.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that past results are going to be predictive of future success. However, opponents are scoring a league-high 56% of drives against Jacksonville. They're allowing 42.7 yards per offensive drive, also a league-high. They have a great team total this week, an implied team total, 28.5 points for Detroit. This is a high-octane, high-offensive situation, a game that can most definitely shoot out with two defenses that, from a puzzle pieces perspective, kind of fit what the other team, their weaknesses fit what the other team does kind of well.
Yep.
So there's a lot of offensive fireworks that could come off in this game. It's one of my favorite games to stack, and Stafford, one of my favorite quarterbacks on this week. So if the Lions don't score 28 plus points, can we just disband the whole team?
Hey man, I'm with you. You're not going to get any fight from me on that one. So I will pull a Lions defense. So I think that you're not wrong. I think coming off a bye, especially Matthew Stafford and this team, another week with Kenny Galladay, I think this is a chance where, like you said, based on this defense for Jacksonville, they could really succeed here. I do want to look on the other side of the ball, though, because Gardner Minshew has also been lighting it up, even though sometimes we see some struggles from an actual NFL perspective. He's hit at least 20 fantasy points in four of his five games this year, Mike. Somebody that you think on the other side of the ball could be a worthwhile start?
Yeah, maybe a good cash game option, because we know throughout his career he isn't really at a high ceiling, but he's had a high floor, especially this year. Top 13 fantasy quarterback in four of his 5 weeks. And, you know, this matchup's pretty interesting because the two defenses, the Lions and the Jags, have combined to allow 20 passing touchdowns already. That's wow. nine games, because, of course, Detroit's only played four, as you mentioned. So that's a lot of passing volume. So it's interesting, maybe a stacking opportunity with these two teams. And by the way, I'll throw one more value play, quarterback, in here, not to jump ahead too far, but Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Jets, QB7 on the season. Who would have thought? Four straight games with 21 plus points. So, you know, Stafford, Brady, Minshew, Fitzpatrick, I think they're your best value plays a quarterback this week.
Week two against Buffalo, 27.3. Week three against Jacksonville, 25.2. Week four against Seattle, 26.3. Mm. Week five against San Francisco, 30.6. He is currently $5,900 this week. If you want to go cheap at quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Although, here's the thing with Fitz, right, Al? Like, you're always looking at the idea that at any point he could have that terrible first half and they decide to bench him, and Gardner Minshew's that guy, and you basically threw away whatever that stack is or that position is. So something to keep in mind, but a guy that, like, man, against this Jets defense, you got to like that play too.
Yeah, I mean, look, players can get benched. However, you would assume that even with the rookie that they invested a lot of draft capital in, that Fitz has built up enough credit into that bank account that he should not get benched at halftime. This is not, I mean, obviously this is a team that's looking towards the future. They're doing much better this year than we had kind of thought that they would. However, maybe I'm being naive when I say this, but like, I feel like he can survive a bad half,
yeah.
Right? But not that anybody really were expecting them to have any sort of bad half against the MESS mess. Yeah.
Yeah. You do not start somebody at quarterback if you think they're going to bench to halftime. Just saying, it's a whole part of this Miami thing where just all waiting for when Tua takes over.
Yeah, I think I agree just based on how he's played the last couple of weeks. But a week or was it 1 or 2 weeks ago, we were already talking about Tua. I think last week, I'm listening to NFL radio, they were talking about they should make the switch. So it's,
yeah.
You know, what if he throws four interceptions in the first half? It's not crazy, but just because it's him,
right?
That's a possibility. Right. But I think you're,
I mean, if he was
okay
having that
play
game, he wasn't going to help you anyway, right?
Right.
If he throws four picks and a half, you
him getting benched
have
at halftime is only
roughly helping you. Yeah.
right.
Can we talk about one more quarterback here real quick? I think it's really interesting because Kirk Cousins takes on the Atlanta Falcons. We've seen Atlanta get torched a number of times this year, but Kirk Cousins hasn't been like a model of consistency. So I'm curious how you feel about Cousins here in this really nice matchup against Atlanta.
Yeah, and this is one where Al and I were talking before the show about this matchup, and it's kind of interesting. So I'm a little lower. I know the industry's a little higher than me on this matchup. Look, Atlanta is terrible against the pass so far. There's no denying that. But a couple things with Cousins here. Minnesota is operating the run-heaviest offense in the league. They're a home favorite in this game, so they should be able to run the football. Kirk Cousins right now, it seems like he's playing well, right? They've been like scoring points, Minnesota. They've certainly been putting touchdowns on the board. He's QB 25 in fantasy. He hasn't had a finish better than 10th. He hasn't thrown for more than 260 yards in a game. He has nothing with his legs. Even in a good matchup, I'm not sure this is a situation that's going to be exploited by Cousins. Think about that. Think about that week where Justin Jefferson had that huge game. Think about last week where Adam Thielen had a huge game. There was a week where Thielen and Jefferson both had 100-yard games. No top 10, no finishes better than 10th for Kirk Cousins this season. So even in a good matchup, I'm not too pumped about his upside. But again, Al, maybe a safer play, I guess, a high floor play. I'd be comfortable saying that, but not a high ceiling play.
See, I look at it the other way. I look at it like in the situation that we have a really good matchup there at home. You don't need a lot of volume at quarterback. It's more about efficiency. So if he throws three first half touchdowns, which against Atlanta, who's giving up 30 DraftKings points per game to the position, is not, it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could get an outlier game from Cousins. He's not somebody that I want to use in cash games this week. We've mentioned a lot of the other better values with higher floors and equally high ceilings, but every quarterback has the possibility to come out of absolutely nowhere and have a three or four touchdown game, possibly get to 300 yards. I don't know if Cousins gets 300 yards unless Atlanta can keep pace and force them to keep their foot on the pedal, or maybe they play from behind in some random situation. But if he ends this game with 275 and three touchdowns and you're stacking him up with one or two of the pass catchers, and there are a couple that you mentioned, as well as Smith at tight end if you want to go the absolute bare minimum route, I like him more for tournaments for that outlier reason where you can catch them in an underplayed situation, or that stack in an underplayed situation.
And I think a lot of people are going to do that, though, right? So I'm going to pivot off of it. Yeah. I think he's going to be very highly rostered in tournaments this week.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, after a long summer, the wait is officially over. College football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right, we're talking about Fansville. So brace yourself for all the on-the-field football drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
Daniel?
Yep?
How do you banish high rates on car insurance?
Eye of Newt?
What?
Eye of Newt?
No.
No.
That's not it.
Okay.
You switch to Geico, of course, during Geico-ween.
Oh, my gosh. Why is everybody so bad at laughing maniacally on this podcast? Do it one more time.
I can't do it.
Come on.
You do it. Wow, that was way better.
You got to let go, man.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Anyway, October is their favorite time of the year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. I see what they did there. Mm-hmm. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No Eye of Newt needed.
Ah,
happy Geico-ing, everyone.
See, I thought you needed Eye of Newt, but you didn't.
Nope. You were ahead of the game, as usual.
Speaking of being ahead of the game, Miles Gaskin, $5,400, taking on the New York Jets this week. Mm-hmm. I love Miles Gaskin, and if I told you that I was excited to play him here, but also just a little bit nervous, could you like quell some of the fears that I have, Mike? Because this $5,400 is pricier than he's ever been all year long on the slate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's still a value, though. I mean, look, he was the number eight scoring fantasy running back last week, so we're starting to see him develop into a guy that can give you RB1 numbers. He has 48 carries over the past 3 weeks. He has four or more targets in every single game. He's one of the higher floor players in fantasy right now. He's 12th in touches. He's fourth in receptions. He's 16th in fantasy points at running back. And he has a great matchup. The Jets have allowed 29 plus fantasy points to running backs in four straight games. They've allowed the fifth most fantasy points this year, the ninth most yards, and the third most touchdown set to this position. So my only concern is if they sign Le'Veon Bell and he's active this week. I mean, that's really the only concern. Even if he is, he's probably not going to play much of a role.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, again, this is what, it's 11:30 a.m. on Thursday. Le'Veon Bell is the last report we have talking right now is that he's picking between three teams. One of them is Miami. So I have a lot of Gaskin in season long. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But, you know, I think that Gaskin, regardless, should be a good play this week.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Another good play that we like, Mike Davis, even though he's taken on a tough Chicago Bears defense, you look at what he's done in the absence of Christian McCaffrey, and man, oh man, Mike Davis is $7,000 here on DraftKings this week. That doesn't feel like a bad spot, but the Bears defense, like I said, is nothing to shake a stick at. So even against Chicago, you like Mike Davis this week?
I mean, the Bears are allowing what? Just under 7 targets a game and just under 5 catches a game to opposing running backs. Now, if we look at who they've played, they played the Detroit Lions, don't really throw the ball to their running backs all that much.
Correct.
The Giants without Saquon.
Yep.
Atlanta doesn't throw the ball to their backs a lot. So, like, maybe that's muted a little bit. And considering the usage that Davis has gotten in the passing game, as well as his usage on the ground, I think that he's one of the higher floor options who can still, at this elevated price point for him. And when I say elevated, I mean it's come up from like 5,000 to 6,100 to now 7,000 on DraftKings. Chicago's still allowing the 6 most yards to running backs before contact at 3.1 yards per carry. He's getting mid-teens in carries, and he's getting 6 to 10 targets a week. He can get there without getting into the box, which is all that I need.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I agree. I think he's a tremendous value again this week. And from that same game, actually, Al, I like David Montgomery. You know, I talked about this. We did the Fantasy Focus podcast earlier, and I talked a little bit about this, but I'll repeat it for folks that didn't listen to both. Look, Montgomery, not great fantasy production the past 2 weeks, but you have to consider the opposition, right? He's played 83% of the snaps in the 2 games since Tariq Cohen went on IR. He had 10 carries in each of the past 2 games, but he played the Colts and the Buccaneers, 2 elite run defenses. We expected him to not do much on the ground, but the good news, 2 weeks ago, set a career high with 6 targets. Last week, set another career high with 8 targets. He's going to be heavily involved as a pass catcher, and the matchup, he goes from 2 extremely hard matchups to an extremely easy one this week. The Panthers defense, most fantasy points allowed to running backs this season, most touchdowns, 4th most yards, most receptions, and they lost Kaywon Short for the season. So like Davis, like Montgomery, and that brings me to a question for you, Al, about little game strategy or gamesmanship. Is it okay to use both of these guys in the same lineup?
I'm probably not going to do it in a cash game. Right now, if the prices were a little bit lower and it was just a slam dunk that they would 3x their salary, then I might do that. But in tournaments, as long as the running backs have a lot of inclusion in the pass game where they're kind of game flow independent. And right now with Tariq Cohen out, David Montgomery has become kind of a game flow independent running back. He's the guy that they've got. They're not going to run Cordero out there a ton. Mike Davis, certainly a game flow independent running back. And for those who don't understand what that means, it means that whether or not they're up 14 or down 14, these running backs are still going to be utilized and not come off the field and rack up points in DraftKings full PPR. So I think it's viable in tournaments to differentiate yourself from a lot of people, not unlike myself, who typically limit to 1 running back from a game. I will exclude that and use it for a game like this. I will allow both running backs in this game in tournament.
Interesting. Agreed. I like that.
Yeah, I can see 25+.
They made Todd Gurley look spry last week.
They did. I want to talk really quickly about Joe Mixon, because I'm just flummoxed by Joe Mixon across the board. The idea that, like, we always talk about how opportunity is king, right? He's had at least 19 touches in every single game, not just a part of the running game, but also actively involved in the passing game, but also not on every week, right? There's been inconsistency across the board. He had that huge game 2 weeks ago, put up 45 DraftKings points. Other than that, 7.1, 12.6, 8.5, 15.4. He's been a little bit underwhelming, but I want to talk to you, Mike, about him this week going up against the Indianapolis Colts in Indy.
Yeah, this is a lot of what I just said about David Montgomery applies here, and I'll tell you why. So weeks 1 through 3, Joe Mixon totaled 7 catches for 58 yards and no touchdowns as a pass catcher, right?
Yep.
So not much work. And that was a concern coming into the season. All offseason, I said he's overvalued in drafts. He shouldn't be going in the first round. He's not going to get enough passing game volume. And through 3 weeks, I look smart. Well, I don't look smart now, because in week 4, he had 6 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. Week 4, he had 6 catches for 35 yards. In week 5, he had gone 22 consecutive games without reaching 6 targets. He's now done it in back-to-back games. There's been a change in that offense. They are throwing him the football more. He had a career-high 8 targets last week. He's now handled 30-plus touches in back-to-back games.
Yep.
So going forward, I feel much better about Joe Mixon. The problem is, much like David Montgomery and what we talked about him last week, is they're playing the Colts this week, and it's hard to run against them. So he might have 25 carries for 56 yards, and we've seen that from him before, as you just laid out.
Yep.
But again, we might get bailed out by the pass catching like we did Montgomery to some extent last week. So I think he's fine to use. Al, I'm curious what you think about him, but I think that, again, don't love the matchup, but do like the opportunity.
I mean, we didn't like the matchup last week either, and he topped 30 touches once again. This looks like an absolute change in philosophy from Cincinnati from weeks one through three, and then weeks four and five, and hopefully moving forward for Joe Mixon's fantasy opportunities. In weeks one through three, he played 60% of the overall snaps. Long down and distance and third down snaps, he played 17.8% of those snaps. And now, in weeks four and five, he's played 80% of those snaps. He was losing work to Gio Bernard on third down and long down and distance in the last two games. 92.6% of the third down snap share. Gio down to 25% from 66%. So you can't score points if you're holding your helmet on the side of the field, right? Well, he's on the field now. This is where his target share has increased because he's just on the field a whole lot more now.
Sure.
And if Gio stays on the sideline and they're just abandoning the mustache experiment that they've been going with for the first 3 weeks, and Joe Mixon is now there, you know what? We're just going to keep our best guys on the field for 80-90% of the time.
You know what? Joe Mixon should just also grow a really awesome mustache, and then the coach will just get him confused in the sideline and be like, mustache, get out there, and he can just run out there all the time no matter what.
All the time?
That's what happened. Because
a couple of the guys I quickly want to touch on. Miles Sanders against Baltimore, like that matchup with the price point. Antonio Gibson against the Giants.
Yep, love him.
Devontae Freeman taking on the Washington football team, like him at $4,900. I quickly want to, and I know we got to move on, but quickly want to talk about this. Philip Lindsay, only $4,300. Given everything that's happened with Melvin Gordon, unsure of his status with the DUI that happened over the week. If he does not play, Melvin Gordon, let's say he is out, is Philip Lindsay at $4,300 against the Patriots a must find a way to get in your lineup? Or is this going to be a situation where if you can make it work, great, but don't find a way where you have to jam him in there?
I don't think you have to jam him, but he's going to be just one of another long list of value plays at running back, right? It just like Devontae Freeman and, you know, Gibson and, you know, guys we've talked about so far. So I think he's a strong candidate just because that's too low. And by the way, shout out to our early days of the 2019 pod. We have Devonta Freeman and Philip Lindsay.
I know.
Like every week last year, they were our value plays. So we're a blast from the past here with both of these guys.
I love it. Well, Mike gave some things away. We'll get to him in a second here, but let's move ahead to wide receivers. And I got to be honest, when I was looking at my lineups, these high-end wide receivers, these top-tier wide receivers were a little bit disappointing for me. There weren't as many names for me to choose from. I wasn't quite as excited. Mike, I want to start with you because you actually are looking at some Pittsburgh Steelers here, either Deontay Johnson, if he plays, only $4,900 against Cleveland, and if not, you might pivot to Chase Claypool after a massive week last week.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Deontay Johnson is $300 less than Claypool, and Johnson still leads that team in targets, even though he's missed basically two games. Kind of crazy. I just gave it away. I was going to ask you some trivia and who's leading the Steelers in targets right now. The answer is
Deontay Johnson.
It's Deontay Johnson. Nailed it.
Yes.
Got it. Wow. Wow, that was good. You guys got that quickly. He had he is 28 still. Leading the team, he had 11 in week one. He had 14 in week two. He had two targets and 69 air yards before leaving after only 10 pass plays in week three. And then they were off week four. And last week, he was targeted one of his four routes before he got injured. I mean, I still think if he's healthy in place, he's going to be featured in this offense and kind of knock Claypool down the rung a little bit. But again, if he's out, you can kind of pivot because Claypool will be a terrific value at 5,200. Just keep in mind, again, I just want to mention this. Should Johnson come back? In weeks one and two, Claypool played 41 snaps and had five targets. In the past two games, 104 snaps, 14 targets in those games. And obviously, he's been way over his head in the touchdown department. By the way, good matchup. Regardless here, second most fantasy points allowed to receivers for Cleveland this season. Top four in targets, receptions, yards, end zone targets, and touchdowns to that position. So you can attack receivers against Cleveland.
Okay. Al, I want to talk to you about a couple of other mid-range options we have here. Obviously, we watched A.J. Brown look fantastic this week. Terry McLaurin, Robbie Anderson has looked great all year long. So I kind of want to look at that trio of A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, and Robbie Anderson and sort of have you talk about those and sort of rank them for me here.
I mean, they're all getting way too many targets for the price point that they're at, right? And so, like, Robbie Anderson, the most expensive of the trio. Then you've got McLaurin and A.J. Brown in, like, the 5,600 range. Like, that's way too low for their skill set. Now, as we've said, there's superstars that just aren't on this slate. We can't really roster the absolute bankable guys, and we don't have that many options. And based on standard roster construction, we're ending up in this range. Now, the issue is that every single one of these guys seems to have a matchup issue. So I want Mike to talk about how much do you downgrade these guys based on the matchup issues that they have?
Yeah, and every situation is different, right? So, and that's why we don't just put out the PDF with the wide receiver quarterback matchups and just leave it alone and let you interpret. Every matchup's different, and you need to dive in. That's why I write an article as well. So, and to answer your question now specifically here, A.J. Brown, he's going to draw Bradley Roby. He shadowed in all five games, and he's been very good this season. He hasn't allowed really much production at all. On 79 coverage snaps, he's allowed 84 yards. I mean, he's been terrific. So A.J. Brown will escape him at times. So I'm going to downgrade him a little bit, but I still think Brown, who is a, you know, just, man, he looks bigger than he is on the field, man.
He
just,
really like, does.
He's an intimidating presence out there. So I still think he's fine, even with a small downgrade. Terry McLaurin, I'm a little nervous about him. I think if he's going to have a dud week, this might be it, because James Bradbury has done it multiple times to superstar receivers. Allen Robinson, 2 for 16. Amari Cooper, 2 for 23 last week. Why? James Bradbury shadowed both of those guys. So I'm a little nervous about him. And Robbie Anderson, by the way, the Panthers every week have had a great schedule for receivers almost. I mean, that's part of why they've been so good at that position. Not anymore. They have a below average schedule going forward. And that starts this week with Chicago, second fewest fantasy points allowed to receivers, only one touchdown and a 56% catch rate allowed to that position. So if we're going to get our first Robbie Anderson dud, this might be the week.
Okay, I want to quickly mention Davante Adams, the highest priced wide receiver here, $8,000. Assuming he comes back and plays this week, worth that price point, Mike Clay?
I think he is. He comes in as a great value this week. Keep in mind, we don't have a lot of options in terms of them expensive receivers, as we just talked about.
Yep.
He is one of them at 8K. He does draw Carlton Davis. It is a tough matchup, but man, the volume, 13.3 targets per game he was seeing in the six games before his injury, tracing back to late last season. The guy gets so much volume.
He really does. Al, I want to talk to you about a couple of punt options here. If you need to look at some lower price wide receivers, more in the bargain basement to kind of fill out your lineup, who are some guys that you like?
Obviously, Jeff Smith has seen a ton of snaps, a ton of routes, and a ton of targets, and got two end zone targets, the highest leverage targets you can get as a wide receiver last week. So he had kind of a week that put people off a little bit, but then looking at the underlyings, he was somebody who could have had a massive week and just kind of didn't. They'll be chasing again, more than likely, going up against Miami. Mooney has been good, and I think that he is actually good as a receiver, and Carolina just gives up a ton of points. So those are the two minimum salary guys that we could talk about. I'll leave the rest for Mike.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you go ahead? There's a bunch of Eagles on here, too, that are kind of in that same lower price point range.
See what I did there?
I see what you did there. I also, by the way, I do have KJ Hamler in here at 3,700, but not looking good for this game against the Patriots. He's probably not going to play, so don't need to worry about that. But as for the Eagles, look, number one, two, and three, if DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey remain out, their number one, two, and three receivers will be Travis Fulgham, Greg Ward, John Hightower. They're all underpriced in this matchup. I mean, Fulgham, we saw last week, 10 for 152 and a touchdown. He's 4,400, way too low if he operates as their number one receiver. Greg Ward's 4,100. He's even less. His last three receiving lines, 8 for 72 and a touch, 4 for 38, 4 for 26 and a touchdown, and 23 total targets in those games. That's too low for a guy that's seeing that sort of usage. And then John Hightower, he's only 3K. He's riskier. He's been under 23 yards in every game. But last week, 6 targets, 204 air yards in that game. All you got to do is hit one. He catches one of those long throws, and he pays that off. So definitely keep an eye on those Eagles receivers when setting lineups.
Okay. Let's talk about some tight ends here real quick. Mike, you've got Austin Hooper, $3,900, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. My motto has been, whenever people play Pittsburgh, just sort of like downgrade him a little bit. Is that the case here with Austin Hooper, or is this just a point where that price point is just too good for you to say that, you know, it could work with this matchup?
That's really the key, is the price point is so low. $3,900 for a guy that has 17 targets over the past 2 weeks. He's been fantasy's number 6 scoring and number 11 scoring tight end. He has 11-plus fantasy points in both. And, yeah, the Steelers did shut down Zach Ertz last week, but first of all, pretty much everyone has shut down Zach Ertz this season. It's been a rough start. And we did see Noah Fant have a good day against this defense back in week 2. So it's not like they're just closing down the tight end shop all season long. So, you know, at that price point, I think it's well worth it.
Al, another cheaper tight end we're looking at here. Trey Burton taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Only $3,100. What do you like about Burton this week?
He's priced wrong. I think that he kind of needs to be right up there with him and Eric Ebron are essentially like the same guy to me this week from DraftKings perspective. Ebron is 4,100. Mo Alie-Cox is 4,000 and Trey Burton's 3,100. So I think that they mixed up the two tight ends here. I mean, they look exactly alike in terms of body and face and hair and everything. So I can see how it happened.
Yeah,
right.
Got it. Yeah.
Trey Burton, if he was 4,000, I think he would be accurately priced. He's 3,100. I think he's priced wrong. He's running the most routes of the tight ends in Indianapolis. We heard all offseason how much they like him in this offense. Phillip Rivers loves targeting his tight ends. The percentage of snaps that were routes, Burton, 78% of his snaps turned into routes. Mo Alie-Cox, 47%. When Mo Alie-Cox is on the field, he's in there to block more often than not. When Burton's out there, he's out in the route. If you're out in the route with Phillip Rivers, you have opportunities to catch the ball. If he has 5 catches for 40 yards, a very modest day, he satisfies the $3,100 salary.
Okay. I really want to quickly touch on Tyler Eifert taking on the Detroit Lions as someone who has been a Lions fan for a long time. Tight ends sometimes give the Lions defense a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just a guy to keep in mind there. Eric Ebron was already mentioned by Al, $4,100, taking on Cleveland. And Hayden Hurst taking on Minnesota. I'm curious, given everything with that Falcons game, obviously we got to watch it for what happens after we saw some of the positive tests of a assistant coach here for COVID for the Falcons this week. But Hayden Hurst, do you like him this week against Minnesota enough to consider him over somebody like Austin Hooper or, you know, maybe a Mark Andrews cost $6,500 taking on Philly?
Yeah, I think he's a good play. The volume has been pretty good as well. Minnesota's defense hasn't been what we're used to. They're trending the right direction. I thought Mike Zimmer would get them rolling. So that's something to think about when considering this passing offense. But I think he's a fine play at his price point. I think much like Hooper and these other guys, he's just a little bit underpriced.
Do you think that Mark Andrews can take advantage of that Philly linebacking core?
Well, who hasn't? I mean, absolutely. It's hard to watch. Nate Gary and these guys try to stop tight ends. It's been awful. I mean, Tyler Higbee would have been dropped weeks ago in fantasy if he didn't have the 3-touchdown game randomly against Philadelphia. But look, Andrews, 6,500. I haven't projected for 4 more points than any other tight end because Travis Kelce and George Kittle are not on this slate. So he kind of stands out as that sort of elite guy above everyone else. And yeah, he's been touchdown dependent so far, 5 touchdowns in 5 games, but his routes are up. And I know, Al, you and I have talked about this. He's run 71% of their routes this season. That's up from 53% last season when he was already an elite tight end. So like that a lot. And you mentioned the Eagles defense really quick, crushed by Tyler Higbee and George Kittle. Actually, I thought this was kind of funny because we talk about him so much. Logan Thomas scored his only touchdown of the year against the Eagles in week 1. It's the only time he even flashed being a useful fantasy tight end. Otherwise, he's been underachieving. So Eagles, yeah, can't stop the tight end.
No. All right. Can't stop this segment either, Mike. Why don't you go ahead and give us your head-to-head lineup for week 6?
All right. And subject to change. Okay. So we'll see.
Yeah, subject to change.
You know, just keep that in mind. But yeah, all right, here we go.
And asterisks. Subject to asterisks.
Big surprise here. Tom Brady is my quarterback. We talked about him earlier. Running backs again, all guys we talked about. David Montgomery, Mike Davis, Miles Gaskin, one of those guys in the flex, of course. A wide receiver, for now, these are a little risky, so we'll keep an eye on the news. But Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, I'm going to roll with for now. He's questionable if he plays. Love him at 6,700. That's way too low. Travis Fulgham, a little bit of a punt there at 4,400. Love him in that Eagles offense, as mentioned. Austin Hooper, a tight end. And I'm going with the Vikings defense, again, at home against Atlanta. I think they're they're super, super low, and they're headed the right direction. They're improved from where they were earlier this year.
Okay, I am going to roll with Ryan Fitzpatrick as my quarterback. I just think he's just still way too cheaply priced, especially taking on the Jets. I've got James Robinson taking on the Detroit Lions. Miles Gaskin against the New York Jets as my 2 running backs. I've got Devontae Adams against Tampa Bay. Adam Thielen, actually, is my 2nd wide receiver taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Adam Thielen has absolutely crushed each of the last 2 weeks. He has, I still love Adam Thielen.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so unbelievably good at football.
Massive target share, great matchup.
Preston Williams taking on the Jets again as a stack with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I thought about not playing Miles Gaskin in this stack with him, but because of the passing game usage, I decided to give it a shot. Jeff Smith On the other side of that is my cheap $3,000 bargain play. And Mark Andrews taking on Philly with Cincy taking on Indy as my defense.
So are you just going to change it? Or is it actually your lineup? Or like, are we going to...
You wouldn't be this angsty.
If you're
here's
other,
the reason. Here's
you make some changes and it doesn't pan out.
You wouldn't be angsty if the changes that I made didn't make me a better DFS player than you. But because I've actually won these weeks and there are asterisks under your...
Listen.
Like,
listen, I already have my attorneys talking to DraftKings.
Oh my
gosh. Had the lineup that won the Millie. I was better than the guy that won it. I don't know why they didn't give me the
No, that's fair. That's
I just
fair.
Don't understand it. I should get it.
Speaking of being better than the guy that won the Millie, why don't we talk to the actual Millie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Al, why don't you give us your weekly tournament lineup?
All right, I'm going with my double stack, bring it back with a secondary stack as well here, just like we do every single week. Matt Stafford throwing to Kenny Galladay and TJ Hockenson. I'm expecting a lot of big things out of both teams here. Mm-hmm. I'm going with LaVisca as the bring back, LaVisca Chenault.
Yep.
Yes, he is a little bit injured this week. We'll monitor that situation moving forward. I have Mike Davis and Allen Robinson as a secondary stack. Allen Robinson with Foles has been tremendous so far. Philip Lindsay, just to make it fit. Miles Gaskin in the flex. And you could say that we have kind of another little correlation here with the Miami Dolphins defense going up against the MESS. Mess.
Nice. Love that.
Love that, yeah.
There
That's
is
great.
No
love that lineup.
There's no Thursday night optimal lineup because obviously there's no Thursday night game this week, Mike. So I want to say thank you to both of you. These last 2 weeks, the shows have gone a little bit longer, but we've tried to get more names in there. So if for some reason you don't like it, if you want to go back to a little bit of a shorter show, tweet at us, let us know, give us some, you know, a little bit of constructive feedback on this.
Yeah, let us know that. We did change the format a little bit so we could get to more players. And also let us know who won our head-to-head last week.
Gosh.
We should get a poll out there and see who...
Yes.
Let us know at Daniel Dopp, at Mike Clay NFL, at Al Smizzle, right?
Still has
Al Seidenfeld.
Oh, it is Al Seidenfeld.
Yeah,
now.
We changed it.
It used to be Al Smizzle, right?
He wanted to be all professional.
No, I put both on there so that people can... No, it's always been Al Seidenfeld, and Matthew gives me a whole lot of trash about the fact he's like, it's the worst Twitter handle of all time.
Yeah.
So like, I put Al Smizzle as the tag so that people can search for either and find
okay.
it.
Okay. So anyway, let us know who should win the head-to-head. I mean, there's only... one answer.
There is only
either set a lineup or you don't. I mean,
wow. You know what? In spite of all that, I want you guys both to know that I love you so much. Thank you for doing the show with me. It's a ton of fun to be able to hang with you guys once a week. And to everyone that's listening, thank you for listening and spending time with us. We love being able to do it. And so for Mike and for Al, I am Daniel. For Kyle, who put so much of the note together, make sure that you guys have a great week 6. And don't forget to love each other. We'll see you guys next week.